Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Charlotte Tuggle, filling in for Stan Jastrzebski. This week, Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton is our guest. Welcome, Mayor Barton.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being with us. You can call in your questions for the mayor by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question to @WBAAnews on Twitter. So we do have a couple of listener questions. We'll start with one of them. They have said, I love all the changes happening around town, but I would like to see our leadership invite Aldi to establish a store here. Would you reach out to the company, or has the company reached out to Crawfordsville to build? The store offers many healthy items at much better prices than Walmart, Kroger, and County Market. So first up, how do you respond to requests like this?
Well, we hear a lot of requests like that, and not the first time I've heard that retailer specifically mentioned. For many years, the city has stayed hands-off on the economic development on the retail side. Retail and dining, we haven't really done much there. I've changed that in the last year, and we are spending a lot of time talking with potential retailers. I'm not going to go into specifically with whom we've had conversations and who might be interested in our community, but just rest assured that we are exploring every option, because ultimately we have to build the kind of community in which people have the amenities they want, and that includes shopping and dining. We have to offer the things that people want to keep them here. So rest assured we're working on those things, and sometimes there's a tough call. You may want an Aldi, but, competitors already in town may say, well, that's kind of hurting us. You shouldn't do that. So ultimately, it's up to businesses whether they choose to invest in our community or not. But we have to create the environment that is enticing to them.
On that competitors point, when you get a request for something like an Aldi or a Whole Foods that really specialize in the fresh, healthy options, do you see any competition between them and local vendors that you already have in town that participate in things like the farmers market?
Well, there's always going to be competition, and competition is not always bad. And that's not the driving force in how we move forward. It's something that we have to be aware of. We don't want to do things that are going to, cause harm to existing businesses. But, if it's just a competitive factor, then they should be bringing their best game to the table. Ultimately, like I said, businesses are going to make their own decisions. I can't say, Aldi, you have to come to Crawfordsville. That's their decision to make. So, like I said, we've reached out on a number of fronts. We're trying some different things. You're going to hear some announcements in the next 3 months, 6 months tops about new retail offerings and dining offerings coming to this community.
All right. And I know you said you wouldn't like to name any names here, but in kind of the general sense, besides things like retail, is there anything you'd like to see come to town more, or maybe for the first time?
Ultimately, it's not about, I guess, what I want to see it's about what consumers want, and we are listening very intently to what young people and professionals and kind of everybody across the board is telling us they want in a community. And you hear a lot of different things, but certainly, there's room to add amenities to our community, and I think they'll be supported and they'll do well. So is there a specific target? No. Just a general approach to offering more so that people want to live here and are not telling us, hey, if I choose to live in Crawfordsville, I don't have A, B, and C, and I have to drive to other communities. We want to fix that.
All right, and that leads to my next question about the community showcase. Can you tell everyone about that event and kind of where that idea came from?
Well, as we've been retooling our economic development approach, one thing became very apparent, and that is, site selectors and developers, in many cases, are helping companies drive their decision about where they choose to locate. And we really were not on the radar screen of any of those site selectors. We're working hard to change that so that as they get a client, who's hired them to help them locate, a business, an industry, let's say, in Indiana, we want them to think, hey, what about Crawfordsville, and start, working through the process and include us in the list. And I don't think that had been happening. So we invited all the Indiana-based site selectors in for an evening to kind of learn more about our community, learn more about what we're doing, take a brief tour of the community and some of the sites that we offer. And it was a success. We had a good turnout. You know, really some of the developers we had targeted were there. And it's just creating that awareness. And what we always find is that when they come in and they hear the story and they see what's happening, they're surprised and they get kind of excited. So the event in itself was good. The weather was not, but it went well. But the spinoff effect is what we're after, and we're seeing that. We have several follow-ups scheduled already with other developers or site selectors who were either here or couldn't make it, and some other things in the works. So it was good.
So were you able to highlight a lot of different things within Crawfordsville? Was there any kind of, you know, this area I'd like to show you because this would be great for X or something like that? What did you kind of prioritize showing as far as potential goes?
Well, we definitely had to prioritize because we only had a certain amount of time and we knew that. But we kind of had experience with that from Stellar, you know, and doing tours with that. We started out with an overview of the community and where we're at and the unique offerings that we have. We talked about that. And then we targeted certain sites like the Commerce Park, the New Core Corridor, the downtown with the Stellar developments that are about to take place. We targeted some of those places, and it quite frankly was creating a priority list. We didn't get to everything we wanted, but we covered as much ground as we could in that amount of time. What we heard back from site selectors is they were so taken and so thoroughly impressed with how much cooperation there was internally in our community and how warmly they were greeted in this community. And that's exactly what we wanted.
And I remember at one of the budget meetings talking about the airport, you said that was a big kind of pull for investors. Was there anything kind of singled out like that this time when you had a larger group of people? Did, you know, everyone kind of look really closely at something?
They looked at many different things. We did visit the airport. We didn't get off the bus, but we did a drive through of the airport property and looked at some things and talked about what was happening there. And we've had a lot of exciting you know, developments with our airport just in the last few months, with a name change from Crawfordsville Municipal Airport to Crawfordsville Regional Airport, that really reflects more of what we're doing at that facility. So the airport was part of it. Different site selectors or developers are looking at different things. So it was different for each one, I think.
All right. And do you feel like any serious discussions were kind of started this time, or was this kind of just a showcase in the sense of, you know, keep Crawfordsville on your mind? Is that going to come later?
It was both. Like I said, we do have some follow-ups scheduled from that event, and we'll see where those go.
And how do you balance bringing in new businesses while kind of making sure your local businesses or existing ones are getting the same kind of attention?
Well, we work very hard to balance that, and we have a very aggressive business retention and expansion plan. We have visited all of our larger employers this year. We just made another visit yesterday, I believe, to one of our employers. And we're constantly in communication with them about, you know, what's going well in this community, where are they struggling, what can we do to help, how can we pull everyone together. Workforce is the key issue that we're working on with all of those companies. And we have them all at the table trying to solve that collectively instead of everybody out there on their own trying to figure it out. So there's that piece on the employers, and then the smaller businesses are a part that we've probably not paid as much attention to as we should, and that's going to be changing as well. We will be spending some time with those smaller businesses to kind of do the same thing and engage them in a dialogue. But it's amazing when you go out and you start to engage these businesses, what you start to hear and what you start to learn and the opportunities that arise. And, you know, yesterday's meeting, I think an opportunity arose out of that, so it's definitely something to follow up on.
And when investors come to Crawfordsville, do they put a lot of stock into that? Do they notice what the city is doing in terms of cooperation with businesses? Is that a factor for, you know, someone who's never been to the area before?
I think so. You know, we're hearing that increasingly from site selectors and businesses. You know, everyone has land. Everyone will tell you they have access to the highway. Everyone will tell you that we have utilities. I mean, all those things are pretty common. At the end of the day, they want to be in a community that's going to support them, that's not going to be filled with, for lack of a better term, drama. They're there to do business, and they want a partner. And that's what you have to convince them, is that you will be a partner. In our case, we're able to bring, for example, in the showcase, existing businesses to the event. And that goes a long way when they see existing businesses there saying, hey, you know, we're part of Crawfordsville, and this community is a partner with us, and things are going very well.
So are we going to see another community showcase down the road? Is that a plan to make this more of a regular thing?
We definitely will. You know, it's not scheduled right now, but we will definitely follow up with another one, and we'll just keep, you know, working every angle that we can.
We are talking to Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton this week. You can call in your questions by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet us a question at WBAA News on Twitter. All right, so switching gears a little bit, I saw on your Facebook page that the street department has been doing a lot of work in the east side neighborhoods. Can you tell us what kind of problem you're having in terms of flooding around that area?
Well, we've been, you know, our community's been plagued by stormwater issues for decades. You know, and thinking back about a decade, a stormwater fee, if you will, was instituted. It's taken a little time to build that money up, but we've done that, and now we have ourselves in a position that we can get in and start addressing some of these flooding issues in some of these neighborhoods. And the reality is that many of these areas were built, you know, decades ago without good, solid planning and engineering. People were just allowed to build and do whatever they wanted. So, you know, you had one neighborhood flooding another, those kinds of issues. We had to prioritize. You know, first priority was areas that had water coming into people's homes. We've addressed those. We're now working on water in people's yards close to their homes, and streets are next. So we're coming through those areas, and each year we come through and do a different, you know, sets of neighborhoods. And this year we're to the point that we're coming through, and I think the neighborhood that was on the Facebook was, you know, an area that suffered flooding for a number of years, and we're getting that fixed and taken care of. So it's a little tricky. You know, it's not just building up the money, but in this case, there were easements involved, and there's planning involved and engineering. We want to make sure as we do it right. And so it takes a little time sometimes, and that's frustrating for people. But I'm convinced that we're working through the bigger flooding problems. We keep checking off the list, and we're going to be in pretty good shape before long.
So what kind of work are you having to do in that area?
Well, in that particular case, there were some storm drains that had collapsed. There's storm drains that just did not exist, so we're replacing the ones that collapsed. We're putting new ones in to handle water flow. Again, there was just no overall planning to this, and as long as I could move the water off my property to the neighbor, that was good, and that doesn't work today. So, and sometimes these are not just city storm drains, and this is an example of that. They also involve another entity, maybe part of it's privately owned. In this case, you know, there's a large church property in the middle of this that has storm drains that tie in. So you have to coordinate with the private sector as well when you work through these. But, you know, bringing engineering on board and really having professionals design this is paramount, and that should carry us for many, many years. The other piece of this that you have to remember, and people don't always understand this, is that we have gotten some serious rainfall amounts, rainfall events, you know, over the last several years, and it's pushed our system like never before. And people say, well, we've always had rain. Well, we have, but, you know, in this world, you deal in, you know, that benchmark of a 100-year rainfall event that should obviously only happen once in 100 years. Those are happening every year now. And so we have to change our standards to accommodate those heavier rainfalls.
And what you said before about how this wasn't necessarily done the right way, or at least not compatible with the world we live in today, has that made it any more difficult or expensive to fix it when it's already been done but not done the way you want it to, so you have to go back and redo it?
Well, it is expensive, you know, and I've said for a while that I'm hopeful that at least my generation and the generation after us are going to think about these things, because we're spending a lot of money to fix the mistakes that were made in the past. And stormwater, quite frankly, was not part of anybody's thought process years ago. I'm going to build a building, I'm going to put in a parking lot, whatever, going to drain it off to the side and forget about it. And now we have to think more holistically, and we have to think about the entire community and how moving that water works. So it's a different equation, but it's not inexpensive, that's for sure.
And we're also projected to have a wetter than average winter this year. So is all of this work going to be done before it gets too cold, or is this it's going to take months kind of project?
This season's work will largely be done before this winter. That being said, we obviously have a list of problem areas to tackle for next year. We're not there yet. So will there be flooding issues next spring? Potentially. But every year, those issues become less and less because we are addressing the problem areas and getting them fixed. So occasionally a new one pops up. That's perplexing. You think, we're about to get them whittled down, and then here's a new neighborhood with a problem. But we are checking off the list, and we are making progress. And I keep telling our stormwater people, hang in there, because we're going to get these big problems fixed, and then we can concentrate on more routine maintenance-type issues.
And in those neighborhoods that you've already fixed in terms of stormwater, have you been able to see any kind of improvement yet?
Oh, dramatic improvement. We have a neighborhood on East College Street in which the homes flooded every time we had a significant rain, and they've been dry, through every major rainfall event this year. And that's a profound effect. It's the value of their property that they couldn't turn around and resell. I have one family that said, every time there was thunder, our children would cry because they thought, here goes, we're gonna lose our house again, we're gonna have water in my bedroom again. It's a huge impact on people's lives, and to now have that neighborhood totally dry and no problems is just amazing. It's amazing for the residents who live there. So we are seeing dramatic results. It just takes a while.
All right, now I would like to revisit something that you talked a lot about last month, and that is the body cam footage of the run-in between the Crawfordsville police and an actor in a local movie who was playing a burglar. Someone saw it, called 911, the police showed up. And you said last time when that footage is released that everyone would see that the police department took the right action there. So now that it has been released, and the city even posted it on its website after the investigation was over, have you seen any kind of public attitude shift when it comes to that incident?
Well, we saw a dramatic attitude shift, from the time I came out with a statement saying, hey, we're going to release the footage, and it will show that the police acted correctly in this particular situation as it was presented to them. From that point, we started to see a shift, and as soon as we released the footage, we saw a dramatic shift in public, opinion or attitude. The video, it is what it is. You see it for yourself. Now, that's not to say, they're not outliers and people saying, the footage was probably doctored or that kind of thing, but that's unrealistic. And we've presented it, there it is, people can see it for themselves, and by and large everyone's been very supportive from that point forward. Now we have to go back and certainly analyze the situation and analyze how it evolved that we even ended up putting an officer and an actor in that situation. So we're doing that at this time.
So far, is there any talk of changes in terms of policy when, people may be acting out a situation? Is there any way that the city can kind of regulate that so that both parties are clued in if this ever happens again?
Well, we've definitely reached out to this particular company, and I think there's absolutely no doubt they'll be notifying us, anytime they're going to be doing something like this. I don't think that's going to be an issue again. We are looking at, whether we do something as far as an ordinance to require if you are, simulating a crime or a criminal activity that you notify us. Those things are still in talks right now, and I'm not sure if some proposed local legislation will come out of that or not. It's possible. As I said last month, at the end, you just have to remember there's just a role for common sense here, that you're going to be acting like you're holding up a bar with a gun and walk down the street holding a gun and pointing at police, bad things are going to happen. So I'm not sure we can legislate common sense, but we are looking at what we might need to be doing.
We've got less than 10 minutes left on Ask the Mayor with Todd Barton. If you have a question, be sure to call it in at 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question to @WBAA News on Twitter. We got another listener question. They have said, what is the city going to do about Milligan Street between Russell and Crawford? This is a two-way street with parking permitted on both sides, but when cars are parked on both sides, it's essentially a two-way street with a single lane of traffic. It doesn't seem safe. So, Mayor Barton, what is your reaction to this? Is this kind of a case of this all has to be checked before we allow parking on both sides, or are there areas that are getting a little too crowded?
Well, that is a particular area that is suffering a problem right now, and largely this happens when there are events occurring at Wabash College in that particular area. You could drive down there on a normal day and there's not a problem, but if there's an event occurring and people looking for parking places, it certainly does become an issue. We're in some discussions right now with Wabash College about parking and the future, you know, layout or where they head with the campus, and some traffic, parking, and safety issues coming before the city council in that particular area. And it's something we're going to be looking at. We're certainly concerned about that particular area and really traffic flow and also, you know, emergency vehicles being able to navigate, because they're right, there are times that it is a two-way street, but it's basically one lane and you're waiting for somebody else to get through. So good question. It is a problem area and it is something that we're looking at.
The same listener also asked, I also noticed that the street sign for Harry Friedman Place has been removed. Is this no longer a city street?
We are working through that right now. The basically Wabash College owns everything on that street. So we're in the process of working through with Wabash. At some point, that will no longer be a city street. It will become, be abandoned by us and taken over by the college and used as part of their campus. We're still working through that. I'm not sure why the sign is down right now. I'd have to check on that. But currently, it's a city street, but it could change.
All right. And when you are doing your public forums, this is, you know, you do a lot of these where you meet with the community to hear about their concerns. Are they usually along the same lines as things like this?
You know, I get a variety of issues. I had one actually last night, and there were some mainly traffic concerns that came before me. Then we talked through, and, you know, a lot of times I'll go through and answer specific questions or concerns people have, and then people more want an update. Tell me what's going on with this. Tell me what's going on with that. And so I walk through those scenarios with them. But it really does run the gamut. It can be everything from, like I said, traffic last night to, stormwater. I get a lot of those concerns. A lot of economic development questions, you know, where's our Aldi, where's our Starbucks, you name it, those kind of things. So it's all over the place. You just never know. And attendance, some months is light, and last night was pretty light. Some months is there are quite a few people there. So I try to constantly change the time and the location. And, you know, I know that some months, you know, that doesn't work out for somebody who works a particular shift. But, you know, they can hit me the next month because I'm either in the morning, mid-afternoon, early evening. I kind of rotate between all those.
All right. And tomorrow, the Crawfordsville-Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce is set to bury a time capsule. It's to be opened in the year 2116, Indiana's tricentennial year. So, Mayor Barton, are you putting anything into the capsule?
Well, I have a greeting for this community in 100 years. We recorded that a while back. So that's in there. There are a lot of pictures that we've been involved in. There's just a nice cross-section of what it's like in our community right now being placed in that capsule. And it's going to, I think, going to be very interesting for our future residents to open that up in 100 years and take a look at it. Maybe my grandchildren or great-grandchildren, I don't know. Somebody down the line will be doing that. But I have a greeting in there, which will be interesting, I think.
All right. And is there anything, you know, that's not just a greeting or pictures? Is there anything that people have submitted that are, you know, might be antiques later on that will hold up underground?
You know, I'm not sure. The chamber has organized this, and they went through the selection process of what they put in the capsule and what they didn't. And that's probably a better question for them. I know loosely what's in there, but I'm not really aware of the specifics. I know they put a lot of work and thought into this process, and really a year into really choosing the right things to put in that capsule. So I'm sure it's good, but I don't know a lot about some of the specifics.
So in 100 years, when the future residents of Crawfordsville are able to crack it open and see what's inside, what kind of impression do you think they'll have of what the past was like?
Well, as much as technology changes, they'll probably think we were pretty antiquated. I'm not sure. You know, I hope what they take is that we were a small community on the cusp right now of kind of going to the next level and growing. I would hope by then we've grown quite a bit and have more offerings and more diversity and a lot of different things happening. It's kind of hard to predict that far out, but I hope they see that this was a good community in our time and was building a foundation for them and where they are at that point.
So what does the next level look like for us in the present day?
Well, for me in this community, the next level means that, we have better housing available, we have more residents, we have more offerings in the community in terms of, you know, the retail and the dining and the shopping and then the quality of life issues, you know, that we have good quality parks and gathering places and our downtown is vibrant and good and lots of employment opportunities. And I think we're working on all those things and let's hope 100 years from now that those have all come to fruition.
All right, and the burial ceremony is set to be at 4 o'clock tomorrow at the City Building for any of our listeners who would like to attend. We've got just a few more minutes left, so I wanted to ask you about All Hallows Eve is next Tuesday. What is Halloween in Crawfordsville like?
It's very busy, typically. You know, that tends to come and go depending on how Halloween falls, if it's on a weekend or on a weeknight. In this case, it's like, Tuesday night. So I think it'll be a very busy evening. Our West Main Street, we actually close West Main Street from Grant Avenue all the way to Bar Street, which is a significant area, because there's so many trick-or-treaters that we were worried about safety. So a lot of trick-or-treaters in that area, a lot of trick-or-treaters all over the city. I think it'll be a busy evening if the weather cooperates.
All right, that's our time for today. Mayor Barton, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of West Lafayette, Lafayette, and Frankfort. Send us your questions at ask@WBAA.org or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.